You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
News team! Assemble!
Back and bigger than ever, it's the unofficial 40 from Soonerscoop.com. Now, here's the entire Sooner Scoop crew, Carrie, Josh, Eddie, and Bob.
All right, welcome back. It is the unofficial 40 podcast right here from San Antonio, Texas, where the boys are all gathered in the hotel room. We won't tell you where because I have enemies, and I think Eddie does too. George has none. You have no enemies, I don't believe, George.
I'm just the happy-go-lucky young guy that's loving San Antonio.
Well, that makes one of us at least. San Antonio, the enemy is
still
San
hasn't
Antonio.
Grown on you.
San Antonio is the enemy.
Even after all the great food that we've had the last couple of nights, it hasn't grown on you a little
as
bit.
As I said at the dinner last night.
Okay, here we go.
It would have been
probably
the sixth best restaurant in the War Acres. Oklahoma.
It was good. And that, food.
Acres is filled with great restaurants.
Was the place so we called Oklahoma like Olé or something?
Cafe Olé. I mean, Cafe Olé was okay. On
I
the
was
River
so
Walk.
Hungry.
Yeah,
though,
it was fine,
good.
But it was comparative to the all other kind of Mexican food that you can eat or Tex-Mex. You can eat.
Was
it was very good.
We had a group of 16, and we were sat within 5 minutes
on the Riverwalk too, which was very surprising.
And that place has been here's the thing, that place has been in business for a really long time. And if you can stay in business on the Riverwalk, like, you know, you serve decent food.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the quesadilla was fine. It was just as good as like getting a Fuzzy's quesadilla.
Okay.
And I like Fuzzy's. So there's nothing wrong with that. But Domingo was really good.
Oh, Domingo was knock your socks off good.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. It was great. Love this
Although
town.
I believe
love
Eddie
this,
said
love this town. Love this, you know, the vibe about it. I think we both agree, though, that San Antonio is a little bit better at night.
Yes.
When the light is shed on the city,
and you don't have to go to bed with all the noise outside. The
God,
people
this,
in the
noise. They bad. Start the construction around here. This whatever they're building across the street better be awesome because the amount of work that they do in between, I feel like 6 a.m. and 8 a.m. is the loud banging. I don't understand it.
What I don't understand is like is Fast and the Furious like the national pastime of San Antonio? Like. They're every third San Antonioan, I think, thinks that they're Dom Toretto from Fast and the Furious. They're just revving their engines up and down Commerce Street and Market Street all night long.
It's like
all day long.
It's like being in Oklahoma City for Meridian Cruise. I don't know if you guys ever went over there. We used to go over there in high school. It was like a big underage drinking spot, and you would just sit on Meridian and watch these old cars come up and down the street.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to say, it's a very white trash bash, I feel.
Which I think a lot of us that are home at those kinds of things.
Sure.
We've all been a part of them. All right, so
need
Alamo.
To go a little bit further north to get to the country club residents of San Antonio. Shout out Alamo Heights.
All right, the Alamo Bowl getting ready to come up. We've had all the press conferences. It's over. The game is actually tomorrow night, so this is going to be a little bit of a short-lived pod, if you will, but I think, guys, what we talked to Jed Fish today. We talked to Brent Venables. I think we all came away thinking highly of Jed Fish.
I really like Jed Fish. I think he would be a really good guy to go get a beer with. I think he is on that list of coaches. And obviously what he's been able to do with an Arizona program that, you know, we hit it on it during the YouTube show today, George. They were a downtrodden program. I mean, he inherited a school that had lost a lot of games in a row. And, you know, the one win in his first season to get to 5 wins last year and then to get to 9 where they are this year, they're kind of one of those upstart programs that I think a lot of people have been paying attention to nationally.
Yeah, you can tell, too, talking to their players a little bit on Tuesday, they've bought in. Like, we talk about that with Brent, but, like, the Arizona, I don't think they've had almost really any opt-outs. Like, I mean, they're going to be pretty much full strength on Thursday, so you can tell that he's got that thing heading in the right direction. I thought it was cool today the answer they both gave talking about the two programs and building them up. I mean, different situations. I mean, Oklahoma, yeah, I mean, is a blue blood program, and Brent took over, you know, a Ferrari, whereas Fish is kind of just building up, you know, a program from the bottom. But I think there's a lot of mutual respect there. I think it's going to be a good game.
It feels like this is a game, too, that, you know, between two programs that are headed in the same direction, but on different, like, tiers, if you will. Like, yeah, Oklahoma's trying to prepare, get to 11 wins, get to something of some momentum headed into the move coming with the SEC. And then an Arizona club that, you know, obviously is changing the conference as well. They're headed to the Big 12. And with Noah Fifita, I think, is a name that, you know, we probably paid attention to a lot more just because we would be driving back from games and watching Arizona games late at night.
He made his emergence against USC.
He's a really good player. And, you know, I didn't realize that his first start was the week before when they went up to Washington and lost by a touchdown against a Washington team that was playing really well at that time. So it's an interesting matchup, and particularly with Arizona offensively versus Oklahoma defense, that, you know, everybody's back. Nobody's opted out. Everybody's healthy. And it's going to be kind of interesting to see how it all turns out.
I really thought about, you know, if I wanted to, I could have made that press conference today really awkward by saying, you know, asking the question, hey, Brent, you know, why is it that Jed Fish has succeeded where Mike Stoops and Kevin Sumlin failed so miserably?
I think it starts with having a pretty damn good quarterback. Although, I guess,
Mike Stoops didn't have terrible success.
No, I mean, that's harsh, and Mike's my guy. I don't want to,
They found some success early when Mike was out there, and I think a lot of it had to do with Nick Foles. I mean, he was a phenomenal quarterback
Rob
and obviously
Gronkowski
went on. And, you know, Seth Luttrell was a big player in that, a big part of that as well.
Yeah, and Bill Beatonbaugh was a big part of that as well.
To me, the highlight of the week has been talking to Seth Luttrell.
Yeah. But real quick, I mean, Arizona, that job, it's a terrible job. I mean, Eddie, you and I drove out there on the way down here one year for the U.S. Army game, and we just wanted to go see the stadium and the campus and all that. The town was kind of gross.
Yeah.
And the stadium just looked decrepit. Yeah. I mean, there are not a lot of resources devoted to football.
Well, compared to OU. Compared to the other across, you know, the sports complex or whatever.
Like Oregon
Just with the Arizona basketball program. I mean, it's a basketball school. I think that any reporter that you've talked to from Arizona, Arizona basketball is kind of what makes everything churn out there.
I feel like Arizona State's probably easier to get kids to come to. Tempe is apparently
a lot of
fun.
Yeah.
Lots of beautiful women there.
I'm sure Rob Gronkowski had a lot of fun in Tucson during his time. The Gronkowski brothers that ended up at Arizona.
He made that place fun. He wasn't going to allow it to be anything else but fun while he's there. But, yeah, I mean, look, Arizona, I think, you know, they've got to be one of the favorites next year going into the Big 12. They're not losing a lot of people coming into this bowl game, which is always key. I think they lose one offensive lineman that declared early, but otherwise they've got a pretty strong offensive line defensively. Most of those guys, they're very similar to Oklahoma in that statistically that defense is not great, but when they have to come up with stops or they need to make plays, they find ways to make them.
Yeah, and I think that that's why it becomes not necessarily worrisome, but I think that that's why there's so many question marks about what Oklahoma's going to look like offensively come Thursday night with Jackson Arnold making his first career start and kind of an awkward path to getting that first career start. And then, you know, playing behind an offensive line that is certainly makeshift as, you know, it, or a complete difference from what it was
at the end
of the season.
I'm going to say this. I mean, because
I
saw you guys kind of get criticized in the YouTube comments, and it's true. It's like, it's not as makeshift right now as it will be in the spring, because you still have Walter Rouse. You still have McCabe Mattire. You're losing Andrew Rame. You're going to have Jacob Sexton out there, and who knows what Jake Taylor can do. Really, it comes down to Everett at center. And then who else is going to play guard?
Yeah, Caleb Schaefer probably, as I think kind of the common thought. He's going to get the start at right guard alongside Jake Sexton at right tackle. And then, you know, the left side of the line is usually what you're familiar with McCade and then obviously Walter Rouse.
Well, McCade will play right in the bowl game, right? He's played right guard all year.
Or right guard, yeah. Sorry.
Schaefer will be
on the left side.
Yeah.
You're right.
But, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what it looks like. It's still worrisome to me. Because
or could it be? It could be Everett, and then play Bates at center.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think they're like
Troy.
Gonna,
just from the way that McCade was talking yesterday, it seems like Troy is going to be the starting center.
Okay. I do think that we're going to see Bates at some point, and I wouldn't be shocked if we see Ozeda at some point. Like, I think they're going to rotate.
I think Bill Beanbaugh is going to be ready to fire out different lineups. Well, if he has to.
It's not like it's an unknown. They've had a month to prepare. They've had a month to basically get ready with the five that they're going to go with. And, you know, in a strange way, maybe they're in a better spot this year than they were last year. And everybody knows how the Cheez-It Bowl went against a really good Florida State defensive front and how willing they were able to run the football with, you know, obviously the breakout performances for Javonte Barnes, who held the nose.
I'm glad you said
that. You're going to get, as well as Gavin Sawchuk.
I'm glad you said that because we went out to one practice. We got to watch some guys running out there. And the thing that was most underrated about that practice was, there's Javonte Barnes just running around. He hasn't opted out.
No, I mean,
he still looks great.
He still looks fantastic.
It's one of the biggest question marks in terms of what happened to him over the course of this past season than any player that I can remember, maybe in the last 13 years that we've been doing this, Kerry. Just from where you thought he was at the beginning of the season, where he was talking about where he was mentally and physically, and then for him to just completely disappear, and then all of a sudden he's running out there and taking a key snaps against Oklahoma State, and he fumbles the ball. It just, the whole thing has been strange.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It makes me, though, the fact that he hasn't portaled makes me think something else is going on, because if he would have portaled, then you would have said, okay, him and DeMarco's relationship
deteriorated, but
clearly that's not the case.
No.
But you can't, I mean, let me ask you this question. There's no way that you can start a guy that opted out already, right? And Tawie Walker.
I don't think they're going to start him.
There's no way you can start him.
I don't think they're going to start him, but I bet he plays.
He can play. But I'm saying that's it. If you're trying to keep your relationship with Javonte Barnes strong and your other guys, you cannot start Tawie Walker, a guy that's already said, I would rather be somewhere else but here.
I think it's going to be a lot of Gavin Sawchuk. I think it's going to be a lot of Gavin Sawchuk.
Well, and I think for the same difference, I think they're going to...
But second, shouldn't it be Javonte Barnes? Shouldn't it be Gavin Sawchuk, Javonte Barnes, and then Tawie Walker when he gets a chance?
I would even put Caleb Hicks above Tawie Walker if Tawie Walker's not going to be on the team.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even play Tawie Walker.
What about Jackson Arnold? How willing are they going to be able to throw him into the mix and get his legs going?
Game?
See, I wouldn't run him.
You're literally one hit away from throwing your hands up in the air and saying, that's the ball game. Like, yeah.
And by the way, I'm going to address this shit because I'm sick of this, that you can't say anything that is harsh or true. That might be true and harsh, which is Davis Bevel was never going to make an impact on this team. And I could have had better bedside manner. I know Eddie probably feels that way. But we've gotten so far, like, everyone wants their news delivered on a Hallmark card now. It can't just be so-and-so is leaving. He wasn't going to make a difference. Now there's a spot open for another quarterback if they want to bring one in.
I feel bad for Davis. He's just, all he's done is got shit on by everybody.
I know, but I mean, he's not any good. Not in this offense.
Yeah.
He doesn't fit at Oklahoma. He's a guy that Jeff Lebby took because he needed bodies, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work, and I think it's pretty obvious.
Congratulations, you were on scholarship for 2 years, and you got a hot girlfriend on the way out.
Yeah, that might be worth it. That might be worth it. I like Davis. I think that it's been much at times from the fan base and everybody else, but it is what it is. I mean, he's trying hard. I know that.
Well, I mean, look, he got shit on really hard for something that wasn't his fault. It was a terrible game plan, the Texas game. But people, like, it's just like they gloss over. It's like, yeah, we've seen what he can do, and it's not good enough.
Yeah.
So, just moving on. Anyway, back to Jackson Arnold running the ball.
I personally, I'm not saying don't run him at all. I think you allow him, obviously, to scramble around and make plays, but it's not something that I think they should be running the stupid Jackson Arnold package down at the goal line. Like, the last thing you want is him
Walker to... For that.
Yeah, the last thing you want is him to get rolled up in a pile, and all of a sudden you don't have a quarterback for the start of next season.
Yeah, that would be awful. But I also, at the same time, I think that they're going to have a game plan that they want to be aggressive.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be aggressive, you want Jackson Arnold, you want to utilize him as much as possible.
I think they're going to let him let it fly. Like, I think they're going to let him just show off his arm, let him throw it down the field. And I do think that's where they can take advantage a little bit of Arizona.
And I'll say this, the biggest thing for Oklahoma to get out of this bowl game is not a win, is not anything other than having Jackson Arnold ready to start spring practice healthy as the starting quarterback and get as many reps as he can going into the SEC.
And confidence. I think his confidence, like, you want to come out of this game with him throwing like 3 touchdowns, 250 plus yards, maybe 300 yards, whatever, like him having some real confidence going into next year about, and I, not to say that he doesn't have that already, like, I'm sure he's a confident guy, but like, if he can go out and perform really well, it'll just help his case going into next year. And that's why I think what Seth Luttrell does is going to be really interesting, how he calls the game, because they're not changing the offense. The offense is going to be the same that they've run all year, but how does he dial it up for Jackson?
And I keep seeing people, you know, ask the question like, oh, what kind of wrinkles is Seth going to come up for this game? And maybe there's some, you know, maybe there's a few things here or there, but he said it in his own press conference, like, I didn't want to change too much because I didn't want to put too much on these guys with all the change that has happened.
I think what you're going to see that's different is just situationally what he calls in certain moments versus what Jeff would call in certain moments.
Well, what I think is it's not so much changing a formation or an alignment or, you know, pre-snap things. It's just going to be, okay, maybe we call a flea flicker here in this situation, or maybe a reverse or something.
Or maybe not a sprint rollout on fourth
and short. Or halfback pass or something. I mean, yeah.
Every play that Seth Luttrell calls on Thursday is going to be put under the microscope.
People just need to realize out there, this is not his offense that they're running on Thursday. Like, he straight up said that at the press conference.
They
will
get to spring, and then they will start working on his offense.
They're going
to
run the air raid.
Yeah.
Which is totally different than the spread.
Right.
I do think that...
But not tomorrow.
Not tomorrow. Yeah. I'm saying in the spring, he's going to put in
the
air raid offense.
They're running the spread with elements of the air raid, which is what they've been doing.
Correct.
I do think it's going to be interesting, too, that just keeping perspective on what this is. It's a bowl game. You know, nobody's going to anoint... I think that there will be a lot of people that anoint Jackson Arnold if he goes out and plays extremely well. And reversely, if he goes out and throws a couple picks... You're going to have to live with it. I mean, he is starting his first game. This is the first truly live bullets that he's going to face in that freshman season.
Brent said that today, too. I mean, him talking about Jackson during practice this year, saying that he would have several bad practices where you're like, wait a second, what's going on here with Jackson? But he always regained his composure, I think was the quote. And so it won't shock me. He's going to have some bad throws on Thursday, but that doesn't mean that anyone should hit the panic button on him.
Sure.
This is the first time he's coming in to a game and playing when it hasn't already been decided. And he's not playing against backups or guys that are defeated. Like, these guys are going to be coming after him from the very
BYU.
First snap.
Other than BYU.
Right, BYU, yeah.
But this time he's actually had time to prepare as the starter, which I think is a big difference. And I don't know if you guys saw the clip of him down at the pep rally on... What night was that? Tuesday night.
That was last night.
Yeah, last night. But he's a lot more charismatic than I thought. Like, when we talk to him, he's very quiet, very short in his answers. I mean, he got the microphone in his hand last night and was firing up the crowd.
It was after Stutzman was freaking out, though, right?
Yes, and Stutzman, like, hyped him up and, like, got a JFA chant going.
This was last night at the pep rally?
Yeah. It's a pretty cool clip. I think OU Nightly put it out there.
I think that's right. Yeah, they were down there for sure, Nate and his crew. And I mean, we talked about the running game, and to me, it's going to be, is Jackson Arnold going to go out there and just try and spread it around? Is he going to find a guy? Is he going to rely on Drake Stoops? Is he going to rely on Jill Farouk? Like, what's the personality of this game going to be with Jackson Arnold as a thrower? I don't think any of us know the answer to that, but it is an interesting question.
Well, and I think that, you know, if you look back at last year, too, Nick Anderson got a little bit more run. LV Bunkley Shelton all of a sudden was on the field last year against Florida State. This year, do you look up and do you see Jaquez Padaway getting more involved with the offense?
Well, that's the thing is, like, all these guys are – the only one that's not coming back is Stoops.
Right.
So,
right. And I think that, you know, this will just kind of be a little bit of a precursor for what's to come with this offense. And I think that that's one thing that you do see when you're talking about this offense moving into 2024 is the fact that the wide receiver room is going to be loaded. I mean, they have a bunch of guys, whether it be Jaden Gibson or Nick Anderson who flashed this year, Jahlil Farouk and his, you know, rumored to be coming back. And, you know, he's been noncommittal on that.
Well, then is this a game where Jackson really lights it up to him and says, come back.
Yeah, come back.
This is what we're going to do next year. Yeah.
And think about the times that Jackson's made big throws this year. They've been to Jahlil Farouk, and especially the one, obviously, that everybody remembers
third down at BYU.
Up in Provo where he checked into the play. It just, I think that offensively it's going to be a lot of fun to see what it is, with also a little bit of caution knowing that there are so many moving parts within the offense and what they're going to try to be able to do. I'm excited about the defense. Certainly was headed in the wrong direction to a certain extent at the end of this season with the, you know, really, truly like the last four games of the year, they did not play well defensively. Now you're getting it a month later. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's bought in and coming back to next year. And I'm kind of excited to see kind of a little bit of a snapshot or a glimpse of what this thing could be moving forward into the SEC.
Yeah, and it's, you get all these guys back. And I thought Billy Bowman and Ethan Downs gave two really good answers yesterday when I asked them about their decisions to come back and buying into the program. Like, that hasn't happened in Oklahoma in a long time. Like, where you get these guys that are really valuable players to all. And
I maybe, think you look at defensively next year, that should be the best defense that Brent Venables, that maybe Oklahoma's put onto the field with the talent that they have coming in, with the talent that they have returning in what, 10, 15 years?
Over a decade, for sure.
I mean, truly, from day one, and we'll talk about this during the summer, I'm sure, you know, ad nauseum, but, like, it would be disappointing if Billy Bowman, Danny Stutzman weren't on first or second team all preseason SEC next year.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I think the other ones to get back, you get back three guys up on the front in Ethan Downs, Jacob Lacy, and DJ Terry, and these guys aren't world beaters, but to have that kind of experience, I think, is going to be massive.
Let's get back to the defense, because a lot of stuff to talk about there, especially with the guys that have opted back into next year. But you've been listening to the Enjoy Fresh Perspective look around as we get ready for the Alamo Bowl tomorrow night, and you know, 8:20 kickoff, so it's going to be a late night for everybody, but we're going to be awake. I'm going to be down on the field with Eddie tomorrow shooting photographs, so I'm going to need some pretty good vision looking through those lens. That lens, I probably should have went to Enjoy before this trip, Eddie.
Yeah, you should have. You would have been able to see through all the bullshit over at the Alamo. Enjoy Vision is the best laser vision center in Oklahoma City. It's not even close. The combination of mind-blowing technology, experienced eyeball surgeons, and exceptional patient care was life-changing for me. I have perfect vision now. What Enjoy is doing for the Unofficial 40 listener, they're giving $400 off LASIK. If you're so inclined, if you're so interested in seeing perfectly, go to enjoywithme.com. That is the letter N-J-O-Y withme.com. And use promo code U40 for $400 off LASIK. Enjoy Vision. This is where you LASIK.
I'm not going to lie. I think I've got my chops back with the photography this week. Feeling pretty good about the photos from the last couple of days. Looking forward to see what I can do in real game action. As long as I'm not one of the guys that gets run over.
The thing that sucks is I think both of the end zones, you got to be on your knees. Or you have to sit on the ground.
Might need to make
that's
a,
the
I can do sit on the ground.
The stool is very, very important for the photog in this game.
I wonder if I can get one of those tomorrow.
Home Depot.
Is that where you got yours?
Yeah.
Okay. Make a trip. So anyway, defensively, I mean, that's been a big topic, and I know, you know, you guys had the story about the 2021 class and the four guys left, and Billy Bowman being a part of that. But
yeah, Billy Bowman, Danny Sussman, Ethan Downs, and Jahlil Farouk, they're the final four from the heralded 21 class that came in under Lincoln Riley.
Which, you know what, I mean, usually you have classes like that, but then when you have a coaching change, that's just going to happen. And of course, Caleb Williams being a part of that class as well. So, I mean, it's a class that has a Heisman Trophy. So it's not like it was a shit class, but those are the things that happen. And what's amazing to me, and I think the greatest story of it all, is Brent Venables coming in here, all that, you know, all the tumultuous happenings, And he reaches two of those guys, Billy Bowman and Danny Stutzman, who clearly could have gone pro, had draft grades, and decide to come back. And they now become anchors for this, not just this defense, but for this program heading into next season in the SEC, to where everybody can look at those guys and say, this is what we're working for. This is who we're working behind.
Yeah. I think it was pivotal to get. I mean, it almost changes everything just in terms of the direction of the program, the momentum of the program, everything that you could think of that goes into next year and the move and everything that's going to come with the SEC. Having just those, I talked to Ted Roof about it on Tuesday during one of the breakout sessions, just knowing that you have guys at every level of the defense, whether it be DJ Terry and Jacob Lacey on the defensive line, Danny Stutzman, and even returners like Kip Lewis or Jaron Kanick, who I'm still not done with as a football player at the University of Oklahoma. And then obviously Billy Bowman on the back end. Like, I straight up asked Billy, is like, I know you guys are preparing for the game on Thursday, but throughout these bowl practices, have you had an opportunity to just kind of take a step back and look at the safety group individually and realize like how good you guys could be coming, moving forward? And he's like, yeah, like we talk about it every day. So it's kind of an exciting time. And especially on the defensive side that, you know, I think everybody has wanted them to resemble something that Oklahoma fans could be proud of for a long time.
Also, Ted Roof coming back.
Yeah.
I know OU fans are super pumped.
Yeah, it sounds
why is that a thing, though?
I don't know.
Is that the most irrational thing that's going on?
People need to get over it.
I think everybody looked at the contract situation and just kind of wondered what was going to be.
His contract's not up until the next year.
Yeah, we were. I think we said that it was up, but it was 2 years.
I have his contract. It's the next year, I'm pretty sure.
But I don't sit here and watch this season and say this program is not succeeding because Brent Venables is too involved with the defense anymore. I mean, you could have made that argument a year ago, but he wasn't as involved as he was this year, and they didn't have all the gaffes with the time management, the clock management stuff. I mean, there were some. But you go back to that Texas game when he called a timeout before the first quarter, the first half ended. They end up kicking a field goal, getting points because of clock management. And I just don't understand why the Ted Roof thing is an issue. I mean, he is defensive coordinator in name only. I don't understand how it has to be like OU's recruiting is hurting because they've got an old man as their defensive coordinator. That's not happening.
They just signed like the best defensive class they've signed in over a decade. So clearly it's not.
So where's the panic coming? I think people look at it and say, what is he doing?
Yeah, it's always one of those things that like somebody always has to be the scapegoat for something.
Is it they think he's the new Tim Kish?
Well, yeah, I think they think he's the Ruffin McNeil, but I think Ted Roof does a lot more than Ruffin McNeil ever did.
Yes, he absolutely does. He's at practice every day.
And I think there's something to be said about coaches, a head coach having somebody they can lean on, like a Ted Roof, to go to when shit hits the fan. And I think that Ted Roof fills that role. And he's somebody that's been around the block. He's coached a lot of football.
And you can say the same about Todd Bates.
I also think the players love him. I mean, you talk about Danny Stutzman and those guys. They always talk about Ted Roof. I don't know. Look, I get it. What happens is people see our videos when we go out to practice. They're like, Ted Roof's not even coaching the linebackers. It's Brent Venables. And it's like, you could go hire a linebackers coach. I guarantee you Brent's going to be coaching the damn linebackers anyways.
No matter who you hire. Yeah, yes. Brent would want to coach the linebacker because that's what Brent does.
Yes.
Bob Stoops coached the corners when he was here. That's what he did. So it just seems to be the most irrational thing that is out there and has been for a while. That people even get mildly upset about the fact that Ted Roof is not retiring. Just get over it. It's not hurting the football program at all.
I agree.
All right. But defensively, I mean, you go into this game tomorrow, and you would expect, I mean, Noah Fifita is an excellent quarterback. I mean, might be one of the best young quarterbacks in the country. He's got like 3 more years.
Yeah, he's a redshirt freshman, so
he could have 2. I mean, if he's really good, he could be out.
But he's under, I mean, he's not even 5'10", is he?
He has some Dylan Gabriel qualities too. Yeah. Just in terms of like
great arm strength.
Yeah, he has really good arm strength. And I think that the way that he's led this team and the kind of the turnaround, he's been a big part of it. Offensively, they've been excellent.
So, I mean, going into this game, it's a challenge for this defense. And guys, I was watching Andy Staples talk to Ralph Russo earlier today, and you. I did see some of that. That was great stuff. But, they were bringing it up like this is one of the bowl games where it seems like both teams really care going into it, have reasons to play Oklahoma. It's clearly Jackson Arnold getting him off to a good start. But this defense, I feel like with the return of Stutzman and Bowman, they want to go out there and show people that they can be dominant heading into next year.
And I think they should have some – like, I think this is actually going to be a pretty defensive football game in the sense that you've got, obviously, OU, new quarterback, offensive line is shaky, all that stuff. And then OU's defense, I think they're going to be able to slow Arizona down. So I think it's a good matchup for OU's defense. And you get all these guys that are playing in the game they don't have to. I mean, you think of, like, a Rondell Bothroyd, Woody Washington, which, by the way –
we haven't talked about that, yeah.
Do we think Woody Washington's going to come back?
It seems like there is growing sentiment that he will be coming back in 2024.
To me, this feels like, after all these years of dealing with this, like, he hasn't made an announcement one way or the other, and I just feel like we're going to lather ourselves up and get to the point where we think he's coming back, and then immediately the day after the bowl, he announces, I'm heading to the NFL draft.
From what I've heard, it's been back and forth. Like, I don't think he's made a clear-cut decision, but there's definitely some smoke. And he's certainly considering coming back. And it makes you wonder, because, like, he's a guy that he's had some good stats and stuff like that, but I bet his draft grade was 6th, 7th round, undrafted type guy. And if you're Woody, do you come back, get paid? And then, because I don't think he can improve it, but I also don't think he can also get a worse draft grade the next year.
Yeah, a situation you can only improve yourself.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah,
I'm here for it. If he decides to come back,
that'd be great for OU.
That only makes the defense better. You know, Gentry Williams stays healthy. Then they develop the Josiah Wagners of the world. And by the way, you know, the day that we did go out there to practice, and you know, we're standing outside the fence, but you know, we can kind of see some defensive drills that are going on. We kind of got the sense just from watching that little bit, 5-minute segment of practice, like Kendall Dolby is going to be a major part of this, you know, starting defense. I mean, maybe DeSean McCullough can't go. Maybe he's still not 100%. And maybe they're just, you know, maybe that was Brent's way of getting him ready just in case. But it does seem like that cheat is going to be the one position that's a little bit in flux going into this
game. I think they just really like Kendall Dolby. Like, I think the staff loves Kendall Dolby, and that's what makes me wonder, like, what's his role next year, especially if, you know, obviously McColl is going to be back, but Justin Harrington, you know, what's his situation? Is he going to be back? You know, they love Samuel Omosigo. He's been playing some Cheetah. Yeah. You know, and Dolby's a corner. Like, they're only playing him at Cheetah because they just don't have any depth. And he's a guy that can cover well in space. So,
and it could be for this game, that's the best matchup, maybe. And we've seen it, even Brent's admitted at times, DeSean McCullough has had some, you know, issues athletically, just keeping up with, you know, more athletic guys.
Yeah.
And maybe they feel going against Arizona that Dolby's a better matchup defensively for them.
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, I don't know. I haven't really thought about the matchup, but, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting what they do with DeSean moving forward, just because, like, he doesn't really fit at any one spot. And, like, I don't
think... he's a playmaker. He makes plays.
Yeah, but he's not great in coverage.
No.
And so he's a liability, and that's why they've had to play Dolby a lot.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I thought it was interesting in the press conference today because you have people, they're going very general with questions like, hey, coach, tell us about, you know, what you like about this team or that team. What do you like about Arizona, or what it is about your defense that's gotten better? And it's always interesting because you're watching a coach play a chess match where he's trying not to give out too much information but still, you know, compliment his team for the strides they've made during the season. And I felt like that was happening today, which makes me think that both coaches feel like this is a difficult game for them. This is going to be a tough game for them to win. And I know Brent got the Texas fans all riled up because he said that Arizona might be the best team they played all year.
I mean, I don't think OU is going to get, like, beat bad, but I don't know if I'm going to pick OU to win the game. Like, I think Arizona I think, one, Arizona's really good. I mean, they've won six in a row. That's hard to do in a really, honestly, the Pac-12 was one of the best conferences mm-hmm. in football this year. And they have, I mean, not to say OU doesn't have anything to play for, but I think them hitting 10 wins would just be a massive, massive achievement for that program. And they've got a lot of seniors playing
in
this game.
I think Jed Fish said it would only be the ninth time in history, program history, that they got 10 wins.
Fourth, I think.
Or fourth.
Fourth time. They've got to 9 games 11 times.
11 times.
Yeah, that was what it was.
Yeah. So, and again, I think OU and
not to say that, like, this is a game that I do believe that Oklahoma is hyped up or whatever you want to call it. Like, the motivation, there is motivation on the Oklahoma sidelines to play well in this game.
Oh, 100%. I mean, Ethan Downs called it a championship.
What if Bob Stoops gives the call and says, Jed, I introduced you to your wife. Throw it.
Jed probably would not
answer.
That
was a cool story.
It was a fun story.
You know what was interesting about that story, though? It's like Bob just opened the door. Like, Jed Fish had to walk through and earn that.
I think Jed Fish is a pretty smooth guy.
Yeah. I bet he's got some game.
Yeah, I like
it. Probably when he was a grad assistant, he had some game, and Bob knew.
The other part that was interesting today, and I wish we would have got Brent's answer to it, was the communication in the helmets. Because I asked Latrell.
Both teams had to agree to it, and it's pretty obvious. I don't know if Arizona
wasn't able to do it. Yeah,
Oklahoma had no interest in it from what Seth said yesterday.
I mean, he shot it down when I asked him about it. He's like, no, we're not doing that. And I was like, okay, would you have any? And then I think Eric Bailey followed up and was like, would you have any interest in doing it in the future? And he kind of shot that down too.
It's interesting.
Jed Fish basically said today that NCAA is going to allow it starting next year.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't think is completely 100% accurate. This is supposed to be a test run in the bowl
game.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
So he probably jumped the gun a little bit on that. But it is going to be interesting because you have Jed Fish, who's been in the NFL, knows that system, how it works, how it benefits them, versus a Seth Luttrell, who's always been in the air raid, and it's not a very complicated offense. And really, I mean, Bob Stoops has even said this before. Like, Mike Stoops, we knew all of Mike Stoops' signals, or Mike Leach's signals. He didn't care. Like, they still couldn't stop it. Yeah. So I think Seth comes from, you know, he comes from the school of, we don't care if you know what we're going to do. You still can't stop it.
I just think that the head communication is way, way past due. Like, it should already be implemented. Like, I don't know why it's not already a thing. It makes too much sense.
Four letters, NCAA.
Well, just like Jed Fish was saying, like, I'm sure that they'll screw it up.
He basically was like, the NFL's done this correctly, but just wait. The NCAA is going to screw it up. That was basically the too long didn't read summary.
Yeah, because you're going to have coaches that are going to, like, we need 60 seconds in the headset. Yeah, and he's like, you only need 25.
Or 15 or 20, whatever the NFL does.
I think he said they have 25 seconds.
25, yeah. And you can't talk to them over the center.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, anyway.
You know, the one thing that we haven't talked about that, you know, when you're talking about a game that is as close as we think it's going to be on Thursday night, OU's kicking situation still just like, if you're running, you know, whoever out, if you're running Zach Schmidt out, I don't think that there's anybody in the world that has any belief right now that he could knock down a 35-yard field goal to win the game.
It's a bowl game. Don't even kick a field goal. Just go for it.
Well, yeah. I'm saying, like, in a tight ball game in the fourth quarter, if you have to kick a field goal, he missed one last year in the Cheez-It
Bowl. Or maybe you kick it every single time and try and get Schmidt out of the funk.
Yeah.
I mean, screw it. We're kicking it every single time.
I guess the one-word answer to that would be, or the one thought answer to that would be, is at least you're moving the football to get into field goal range. That would be a positive.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be certain situations. If it's 4th and 16 and you're down 2, you have to try it. Yeah. You know, you're inside the 30 or something. I mean, you just have to try it. So
no doubt.
It could play a factor that doesn't play in OU's favor for sure. I'll say this. There was one day we got to talk to Joe John Finley and Seth Luttrell, and that was the entire, you know, offense, defense, players, coaches. And it was kind of a disservice, I thought, to the players because, you know, it was one of those deals where we hadn't got a chance to talk to Seth Luttrell or Joe John Finley since they took the jobs or they were elevated into their positions. And, you know, you could tell, like, the moderator was like, hey, you guys got any questions for the players? And we're like, no, not really. We just want to keep talking to these guys.
Hey, by the way, can the moderator needs to shape up? Can we shape up a little bit?
He's got a little spunk to him.
He didn't remember the OU players' names yesterday. I thought that was a bad look. He was cutting people's answers off today. It was just like, well, I mean, I know that you have the coaches' luncheon coming up this afternoon, but
I would have loved Brent's answer on the communication thing because I think he would have disagreed with Jed Fish on that.
Just from an offensive guy talking about it versus the defensive guy talking about it?
Yeah. But yeah, no.
There's a player on the defensive side of the football that has a headset in his ear as well, right?
Typically the linebacker.
Yeah.
Which would be interesting, him and Stutzman, if Stutzman got
one. Stutzman would just turn it off halfway through.
Yeah.
I think Brent prefers to call out everything that's getting ready to happen from the sideline. Because he's just, like, he knows every play that's getting ready to happen.
Yeah.
Like, if he could actually put on a uniform and be out there on the field, they just play with 10, Brent would just be calling out the plays.
He'd love that. I think he'd be ready for it.
I'd like to see that.
Going back to Latrell, I thought Latrell was great talking to him. I spent my whole time with him over at the breakout session. I mean, one, you can tell the guy's been head coach, so he knows how to answer questions.
Sure.
But two, his answer, and it's cliche or whatever, but his answer about wanting to get back to Oklahoma the last 23 years, I thought was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think anybody that grows up in the state of Oklahoma, like, I don't know how you don't identify with that.
Whose father played for Oklahoma.
Yeah, like a two-time national champion, a two-time state champion in high school wrestling, Seth was. Was a captain at OU, won a national championship. Like, he is kind of symbolic of what this program, I think, strives to be right now.
I think what Seth needs to do, first game, is he needs to snap a fake punt to the up man like he did against, I think it was Texas A&M, when they just throttled him.
The 77-0 game?
I don't know if it was that. It might have been the... It would have been... 77-0 was when Francione was there.
Right. That would have been like 0-2. I guess Seth would have been gone.
Seth would have been gone. It was the game, Josh Heupel's second year, when they played in Norman. In 2000, I believe, I don't know, you might go Google that real quick, but I think he had a fake punt where he was the up man, and they snapped it directly to him, and it broke big.
He was asked, yesterday I asked him in the breakout about his relationship with Brent, and they used to meet one-on-one all the time because he was, Brent coached the punt team.
Uh-huh.
And Latrell was the protector,
right,
which is the up man.
Yeah.
And they grew like a very close bond doing punt team stuff.
Yeah.
Now, Seth did have the play back in 2018 at North Texas when he was there as the head coach.
Against
when
Arkansas. Oh, with the not
he faked
faking.
He faked the that he was going to fair catch it.
Well,
and
he
then
just
ran
never
it.
Faked, but they assumed it was against Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
And they assumed he fair caught.
I found the clip. It was 1999.
Okay, so it was the first year.
And he, here it is. You guys can watch it if you want. They fake like they screwed up the snap.
Great quality. Look at Seth go.
Was that at A&M?
No, that was at Norman. That's awesome.
Well, no, they played A&M in 2000 they played at
2000, A&M. 2000, yeah, it was A&M, the Torrance Marshall
game. Yeah. So when they played A&M in 90, because I remember before that game, they asked Josh Heupel about Texas A&M's defense, and he was like, yeah, we know what they do. They just play zone. And he's like, I'm not worried. And everyone's like, oh, my God, that's trash talk. Josh Heupel is talking. And he carved that defense up. Like, it was no problem. But, yeah, the 99 Seth Latrell fake punt, first year, Bob Stoops. He should do that in honor of him tomorrow.
I would be surprised. Usually you see a bowl game, they do a little bit of a trickery or something to change momentum. I think that there's something out there that they'll do on Thursday night. I keep wanting to say Saturday.
Maybe something with Gavin Freeman, who we saw out on the Riverwalk last night.
We saw Gavin.
Yeah, it's always
good
to see Gavin.
He ate at the restaurant with us. So,
it is just pouring at this bowl game that we're watching right now.
Where is this?
The Go Bowling. It's in Annapolis.
Just every football game's in pouring rain this year.
Not the Alamo Dome.
Yeah, we will be safe. I mean, the roof might break or something, but
that's a possibility.
that old girl is an old girl walking up to that last couple of days.
I think it's a great setting. Like, once you're inside of the stadium, like the playing surface and all that kind of stuff, I think it's awesome. I think it's one of
the
better ones that they have. Yeah.
I mean, it was built before all the superstructures were built. Yeah. So, and it needs a little bit of a refresh maybe on the outside. I'm sure the city of San Antonio will do something for some upgrades at some point. But
no doubt.
Okay, so I mean, here we are. I mean, we've talked a lot. We kind of expect a really good game tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about the guys that we saw that were out practice, Michael Hawkins Jr., Jaden Jackson. You guys have to remember the rest of the list for me.
Wyatt Gilmore, Nigel Smith, Jaden Hardy, Eli Bowen, and Xavier Robinson are the seven guys that are down here. Wyatt Gilmore's with the team, but he's obviously not practicing. He has a broken foot.
Yeah, he told you guys on our recruiting show that he had a broken foot.
Yeah.
But he's out there.
Yeah, he's out there. Nigel Smith and Jaden Jackson certainly looked the part. And, you know, as Harold
they stole the
that
show.
Defensive line group that's coming in the 2024 class, you know, with the expectations that everybody has and one of the best defensive line units that Oklahoma's brought in the last 20 years, they certainly looked the part. There's no doubt about that.
Well, and I mean, you guys probably saw, a lot of people probably saw the pictures that I put up of Jaden Jackson, but he moves well. I mean, he's not just a big guy without athleticism. Like, he was right there with everybody else in drills.
He looks
watching.
He looks like he could play tomorrow in the Alamo Bowl
and make a difference.
Yeah. No doubt. It was fun to see him. You know, we obviously didn't see him do a whole lot in the time we were out there, but you know, it's just unique in the opportunity that they have to come through, go through practice. Nothing's going to be new to them. With as many guys of the 27 that are coming in as their early enrollees, I think 20 of them are going to be part of the program, you know, in full in 2.5 weeks when school starts again. We'll see a bevy of those guys here coming up during spring ball.
And I'll tell you, I mean, we didn't see a lot, but I mean, it would be cool, like, if they could put in a few plays for Michael Hawkins Jr., just to, you know, some run pass options or
something.
That'd
be awesome. Now, we should say and clarify that freshmen can't play in this game. Like, the seven freshmen aren't eligible to play in the game, but they can't go through practice. I'm pretty sure they can suit up and go through all the, like, pregame and all that kind of stuff during the game. So it'll be, I'm sure it's fun for them to, you know, they were in high school last week. And now they're practicing with Oklahoma and going through a major bowl game.
And it was cool to see, like Woody Washington. There was a moment where he took Eli Bowen to the side and, like, was working with him. And it's like, that's so valuable for those young guys. So,
and the other thing is, like, just Peyton Bowen, like, how he's kind of lit up just talking about, you know, having his brother here practicing with him and, like, how much it means to them. But, you know, he doesn't lack confidence. You know, he's got... I don't think he's like Peyton, where he's just instantly going to be able to come in and learn five different positions and all that stuff. But it's going to take him more time. But just seeing those two guys together, I mean, they'll make each other better. I mean, I have no doubt about that.
No doubt.
All right. So
the one thing that I think that we have, like, come across being down here in San Antonio, not necessarily just being down here boots on the ground, but there is, you know, as much rumor out there and speculation right now about Woody Washington's return. The quarterback transfer portal is starting to become kind of interesting with some whatever you want to call it. Like, I think there are some strong rumors that Casey Thompson could end up in Norman.
Yeah, and, you know, I know there's some other interest out there. I haven't really confirmed how strong it is, but I've had some people reaching out to me, like, you know, what's going on with Casey? And, you know, he's in a good position. I mean, he's played a lot of football. A lot of people want to bring in somebody. You know, I think for Oklahoma, it would be a deal where he could come in, be a backup at Oklahoma. Not a lot of pressure, but he could, you know, get to say, hey, you know, Dad, Kendall, I played at Oklahoma. And, you know,
kind of a unique ending to a 7-year college career.
I did talk to Kendall a little bit last week. He didn't really give me any hints, but he wanted me to say hello to everybody. But, you know, he's a good friend of the Scoop and, you know, always been a fan of his and always a great guy. But, you know, he would probably love to see his little brother, you know, spend a year at Oklahoma.
Yeah,
even if it wasn't
really
a backup.
It'd be really cool.
So we'll see what happens. I know I have been told that there won't be an announcement until January. So we don't have to sit on pins and needles waiting for that announcement to come in the next few days. But I think he is whittling it down. He has an idea that an announcement date is imminent. And I think early January, you'll probably see something from him through his socials. So.
I think it's also safe to say there's been contact from both sides between the two. And there's interest.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You'd be bringing in a veteran guy that could I kind of mentor Jackson to continue to mentor him as he makes his way into what will be a pivotal season for him at the quarterback position. And, you know, if God forbid anything were to happen, it would be a very comfortable situation being able to turn to Casey Thompson.
I mean, what's his injury? What did he – it was an ACL this year?
ACL, yeah. Yeah.
He's at FAU, right?
He's torn him a couple times, right?
Or is this his first time? I really don't know.
I can't remember.
He's been injured, though, before. I don't know if it was ACL, but he's had injuries before.
But, you know, I mean, if Casey doesn't work out, I wouldn't put it past OU to maybe take another. I mean, there's still guys going in. I think I saw somebody go in today that was a – or yesterday, that was a pretty established guy.
I think Casey just makes the most sense because he knows the program. He would know he's accepting his role. Whereas these other guys, I don't know. Like
they're looking for a starting job. Yeah.
Whereas Casey, I think has, and not to say Casey's not. I mean, maybe the right program comes along and he's able to go be a starter somewhere. But
I know I can tell you this. I'm not saying it's down to anybody in particular, but I know Tulsa is interested as well. So I don't know how far that's gone at this point, you know, if he has interest, but I think that's another program to watch. So and the other thing is maybe they can sell him on, look, if you come in here, you can help us protect Jackson. Maybe we can come up with some packages for you.
And the truth is there's probably going to come a time where Casey Thompson's going to have to play at some point. Not to say Jackson's just definitely going to like get hurt, but look what happened with Dylan the last couple of years.
Yeah,
like,
and you odds are prepare for the unexpected.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, we haven't had a lot of SEC talk this week. I mean, that's what's been kind of interesting. I mean, it's just always kind of on the, you know, it's on the back burner. Everybody knows it's going on, but it's interesting. It hasn't been that prevalent. It'll be interesting if Oklahoma gets up in this game. Do we hear some SEC chants from the OU? I would say the Arizona crowd has arrived here earlier. We're starting to see a few more OU faces. I mean, it is San Antonio, Texas. It's not the worst bowl game to come to. So I think you'll see a really good OU crowd. But, like, we've seen the Arizona people out on the Riverwalk since Tuesday.
I mean, I think there's going to be a good Arizona presence.
Yeah.
Probably more. I mean, you guys were here for the game a couple years ago. I don't think the whole lot of Oregon fans came, did they?
I think that Oklahoma will show out. I mean, it's a very local game for a lot of people that aren't able to get up to Norman or get around to see them here regionally. And I think that, you know, there'll be a lot of people that come down and want to represent.
Maybe they're just fans of the Alamo that are Arizona people. I don't know.
Possibly.
I like the Alamo.
What did you like about it? Just that it's a building that sits there?
I just love the idea of these guys, you know, fighting for their lives in this building.
Defending a borderless country that wasn't even a part of the United States.
Yes. It's a great, great story.
It's a good thing Josh isn't here to try to explain it to you again.
I know he's hate listening to this right now.
That's not what happened, George. Let me explain it to you. I read these three books.
I already know what I'm getting for Christmas next year from the McQuiston family.
An Alamo history book?
It's going to be whatever that book is. Forget the Alamo that he wants me to read, which I'll never read. I'll burn it.
Maybe Ken Burns will do a documentary just for Josh on the Alamo. You guys almost got chased out of there, didn't you, doing your report?
Yeah, the security guy came over and said that we're supposed to get approval, but since it was Christmas, he would allow it. Which we appreciated. It was a great video.
I liked all the people that just walked behind you, and I had no idea what they were doing, but they just stared for a while, and then they left.
There's a lot of like sightseeing. Like people come here for like vacations, I guess. Which is,
I mean, the Riverwalk has been insane every night. Like yeah. I'm surprised that we haven't seen somebody accidentally get pushed into the river.
Yeah, it's you and I were packed. Talking about that last night. A few more drinks, and one of us might have fallen into the river.
I hate this place.
It's two. I'll give you a break because it's two of the last three bowl games that you've been to. Same place, San Antonio.
See, I've never. This is my first bowl game covering the non-playoff game, and so it's just a different. Like the, I appreciate the Alamo people.
Yeah,
but they've been great. But the hospitality suite is just not the same.
No. I mean, the Fiesta Bowl is the all-timer. I mean, Eddie will tell you that. He threw up in his boss's car the next morning after his first experience.
Yeah.
And I can't say that I've thrown up, but I've left that hospitality room just sloshed out of my mind more than any other bowl game.
There's also just the, like...
The Rose Bowl's really good, too.
But the other part of it is, like, when you go cover the playoff, even when you knew OU was going in to get slaughtered, like, in 2019, there is just this, like, feeling of, wow, this is a big-ass game that you're covering, mm-hmm. and the give-a-shit factor here is just a little bit lower. And not to say that it's not a big game, and that, like...
But like, that's because you've only covered Oklahoma. Like,
right.
If you covered Arizona, this would be like, one of the biggest, you know, sporting events that the football program's been through in decades.
That's the other part of this. You go to these other playoff games, you've got national reporters there, and you've right. got, you know, whoever's covering LSU or Alabama or whoever.
The world needs more Dan Wilkins.
Right. They're all, like, they, you know, they there's 20 or so people from each side, local media, covering the event, plus national media. Here, there's maybe, like, 4 or 5 reporters covering Arizona. Like,
yeah.
I don't think did an Arizona reporter ask a question today at
yeah,
the press conference?
Yeah, maybe a couple, one, maybe I think two.
Yeah, but it, when it was an Oklahoma dominated press conference,
I did get to the point at the end. I was kind of cringing a little bit because I was like, "Oh, it's another Oklahoma. They're going to
well,
ask
like
a
even
question
the
Mr. Brent."
Even on Tuesday at the media day, talking to the players and the coordinators, like every question was from an Oklahoma. Almost every question was from an Oklahoma reporter, and it was like some question tying it back to Oklahoma.
Right,
and I was like, "These guys are probably like, what the hell are we doing here?"
You want to know the single most, and it was set up perfectly, but the most disrespectful media sessions that I've ever attended in my entire life, the 2006 Fiesta Bowl, Oklahoma and Boise State.
Oh, boy.
Reporters were literally asking Boise State players out loud questions like, how can you possibly compete with this team? Like, that was the question, and it would be asked over and over and over again, and I remember... As I was going from like dais to dais, just hearing these questions over and over again, I was like, these guys are going to be really pissed off by the time this game kicks off. And they were. And their fans were pissed. I mean, it was the biggest cloud of disrespect hovering over a football game that you will ever experience in your life.
I don't think there was any of that, though.
No.
With Arizona.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah.
But there was also not as much media availability.
Right.
Because that was like day. Like you had a whole media day just for offense and a whole media day just for defense where every player had their own podium. So no bowl games like that anymore, though. So, I mean, yeah, this is not a big bowl game. I mean, it's not a – it's the atmosphere is not what it would be at a playoff game, which, yeah, we've covered the playoff games. I mean, it's about like covering an old BCS bowl. So – I will say this, the number one bowl game of all time for media hospitality, just general hype, is the 2008 Orange Bowl. Sam Bradford versus Tim Tebow. The Florida media getting mad because, who was it? The defensive back from Tulsa. Really good basketball player.
Dominic Franks.
Dared to say that Tim Tebow would have been the fifth best passer in the Big 12, which was an accurate statement. Because you had Sam Bradford, you had Colt McCoy, you had Graham Harrell, and who was the fourth?
Chase Daniel,
yes. As a passer, he was the fifth best passer. He was the fifth best passing quarterback in the Big 12. But they won the national championship.
Oh, you should have won that game.
Well, first off, the first play of the game would have been a 15-yard personal foul when Manny Johnson just got creamed on the sideline.
Eddie's just deep breathing into the mic.
Bad
right
memories.
I can't. You were probably sitting with the Sam Bradford crew. Were you sitting with the?
We weren't sitting with Martha and Kent, but okay. we were there.
All I remember about that game, I watched it with my dad, and. Who was the guard? They went for it on fourth and goal.
Brian Simmons.
One of the guards.
He was born with a club foot.
Missed their block on
Brian
the fourth
Simmons.
And goal play. And he just, my dad lost his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably yelling, listening to this, you know, being like, yeah, that's right. They missed the block.
I was right behind, like I was in the press box that was right behind that play. So I saw it. Like I was right behind the center, like, saw it right from the center on. I could see the missed block. It was awful.
Yeah.
And DeMarco Murray didn't get to play in that game because he busted up his knee in the Big 12 championship.
Yep.
Yeah, they win the game with DeMarco.
And they got Percy Harvin back, which they weren't supposed to have. So, all right, so tomorrow night, 28th, 8:20 start, 8:20-ish. I hate to say this, it'll probably be a little bit later because they'll have to wait out the game before. Tonight, Oklahoma State takes on Texas A&M. So it's the same thing. It's three games today and three games tomorrow, all back-to-back-to-back on ESPN. But I'm not going to sit here and say this is any kind of a legacy-defining game for anybody. Hopefully it's a fun football game that everybody enjoys, like they enjoy Dead Soxy. DeadSoxy.com. Go check out our friends at DeadSoxy.com. I know Christmas is over, but, man, you need some stuff to go with those new clothes you got for the office. So go check them out. Use that promo code SCOOP and get 25% off your entire order, even sale items, at DeadSoxy.com, DeadSoxy.com. Great friends of the program, and as always, stay Soxy. All right, final thoughts here, guys. We're rolling into the final game, the first game of the Seth Luttrell era, second year Brent Venables moving to the SEC. You could say a lot of is on the line. I think just playing well and going out and getting a good start from Jackson Arnold is the best that you can hope for as a Sooner fan. Even if they don't win the game, if it's a shootout and Jackson Arnold plays well, I think you should feel pretty good coming out of this game tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it's going to be kind of fun. I think it's not a pivotal game, but I do think it's important that you continue momentum on into the spring and everything that's coming on the other side of the mountain. So it's going to be a lot of fun to kind of see how this whole takes shape over the next couple of months before SEC play begins.
Over under 1.5 touchdown passes for Jackson Arnold tomorrow.
Over.
Over under 2.5.
Over.
Is this a moving betting line?
Half,
what kind of, what kind of
would,
sports app is this?
3.5 would be probably where I think it'll be close.
Yeah.
I'd say 3.
If he goes over 3.5, I think they win the game.
Passing yards, what about over under 250?
Over.
300?
I think it'll be in between 250, 300.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a nice night. I'm excited for it. I think that there's a lot of confidence right now. If you talk to some of the players, certainly if you hear, you know, from Brent Venables, like he was talking today, I think there's a lot of excitement for kind of debuting this guy that everybody has been waiting since the moment that he signed with Oklahoma to kind of see what he was going to be and the legacy that he'll be able to leave at Oklahoma. I'm excited for it.
I think here's my take for the game. I think Jahlil Farouk has his best game of the season.
I think this is a solid take. I really do.
I think he's going to end up being Jackson's like go-to guy. I mean, you saw that. My reasoning behind this is he became his go-to guy at BYU, and I think that's going to be mm-hmm. the case tomorrow.
Has a lot of trust in him for sure.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of night Drake Stoops has, because I think everyone, including Jackson, will want him to go out.
Well, and that'll be if he catches a pass from Arnold, which I'm assuming he will tomorrow. What was the stat I put out there earlier this year? Is it 9? It'll be
ninth
different quarterback that he'll catch a pass from.
Will it be his 10th or he's already
done
9?
I think it'll be his 9th.
Okay. I think maybe you had 9 and somebody realized he didn't actually have a pass from a certain quarterback.
No, I had it right, Kerry. Hold on, let me find it.
I'm not going to argue with anybody on the pod. It's not gone well lately. All right, well, George looks for that. We'll tell you guys, Eskridge Lexus got us down here, our official travel partner. Can't thank Ed and the boys enough. Look, if you're looking for a Lexus, especially the new TX, the three-row models, those are big old suckers. They come in and they go, so get your name on the list. Go check one out. Ed Eskridge and EskridgeLexus.com. Just can't thank them enough for being the official travel partner, getting us down here. We got a nice Lexus GX to store all of Eddie and my gear. Handled it quite well. Very comfortable ride. And the GXs are growing on me. I think I might have to trade in the IS, the little Sportster, and go with a big boy car here moving forward. So go check them out, EskridgeLexus.com. If you're anywhere else outside of Oklahoma, I know we recently had a listener from Arkansas that checked in trying to get a certain model. Ed took care of him, and he'll take care of you. Just tell him you're a Scoop subscriber or listener, and they'll give you some special discounts. They won't charge you any extra dock fees or add on any bonus bogus charges, and they're not gonna try and charge you extra, you know, delivery fees and stuff that other people are doing. So get a quality luxury vehicle. Eddie and I both swear by them. EskridgeLexus.com. And George,
it was 9.
Drum roll. It was 9.
It's going to be 9, is what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Jackson Arnold will be the 9th.
If it happens. I mean, I can't imagine Drake Stoops isn't going to have one catch in this stinking game tomorrow.
Yeah, he will. Yeah. I think he'll have a big game.
Leading rusher tomorrow?
Gavin Sawchuk.
Agreed.
Eddie, is there anywhere else we can take you in San Antonio that you haven't gone that you would want to go?
I-35 North.
All right. To the beautiful Waco, we will head on Friday.
We didn't make it to SeaWorld. You and I still ill.
Darn.
I think it would have been fun.
Well, you know what happened was they said the walk-ons are the only ones going to SeaWorld, so.
Yeah, me and Eddie.
I'm not a walk-on.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm a scholarship player.
I'm a walk-on. Preferred.
All right, that's going to do it. Our, by the way, our valet says he's walking on in Oklahoma next year. We're going
to
check into this.
Yeah, that needs to be investigated.
The guy that was hitting the vape outside?
The
big guy.
The big guy.
Said that he's walking on to play football
guy?
Next year.
Yeah, keeps hitting the vape.
Oh, he's
outside.
Hitting the vape?
Yeah, well, hitting the vape out there.
Perfect. Schmitty's going
to
love that.
We have to get Schmitty on the horn and revoke that.
That guy also looks like he's like 24.
That's what I said.
Like he's.
That's what I said. We might hilarious. Have to go investigate.
He probably tells that to everybody every
that's
year at the
his,
Alamo Bowl.
Yeah, like, whatever team is staying here.
Yeah, he was telling the Texas media last year.
We did
be a
go down this morning, and he said, I'll be right with you. I got two other people in line. And I said, would a 20 put us at the head of the line? And he looked at me and goes, you bet.
That one of the cooler moments, though, me and Eddie running into the NBA officials.
Yeah, Bill Kennedy, and I can't remember the other guy's name now, but it was a fun conversation that we had.
They're calling the Spurs game, telling us that the NBA's rigged. That's what they told us.
No, they didn't say that.
They said we can't call technicals on Draymond as much as we want to.
They did say the Thunder are going to win it all this year,
which we agreed.
Sounds kind of like a promises from our valet that aren't really true. All right, that's going to do it. We'll be back again next week for a full season wrap-up as the Sooners will be done with their bowl game. Josh and Bob will join us. We'll get back into some hoops action, some recruiting action, all that good stuff. Josh getting ready to head to Orlando, by the way, for the Under Armour All-American. We'll see Daniel Akinkunmi.
Akinkunmi.
So that'll be really interesting to see him go up against studs from the U.S., see how he looks. So lots of stuff to get to, but appreciate you guys listening in. And as always, you can find us on Soonerscoop.com. Go subscribe if you love the podcast. That's how we get taken care of. So appreciate all you guys out there listening. We'll see you next week right here on the Unofficial 40 Podcast from Soonerscoop.com.